It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. The bad weather blanketing the Northeast did not keep our intrepid business contributor, Rebecca Harris, from making it to the nation's capital. She sat on a panel of a business roundtable held yesterday at the White House. And here to tell us about the event is none other than Rebecca Harris, director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Rebecca, you made it back. How are you?
Well, we did. And thanks to my intrepid traveler, Lynn Banaszak-Brusco, who is the executive director at the Health Tech Institute, Disruptive Health Tech Institute at CMU. She was the driver. And so we did this in 24 hours, Paul. And today the federal government is actually shut down. So there wouldn't have been any roundtables today and no people to talk to us. So I felt really lucky to be there yesterday.
Your timing was impeccable.
Yeah.
A whirlwind 48-hour visit to the White House. Who invited you to the White House? Give us the whole background.
Yeah,
here.
So it was really exciting. And on a much more serious note, I was really honored to receive this invitation. The meeting was convened by Sam Brown, who's the director of the White House Business Council, which is part of the Office of Public Engagement and Intergovernmental Affairs. And that's an office that really works to make the government more inclusive, transparent, accountable. But this is interesting, Paul. The history of the White House Business Council was convened back in 1933 in the early days of the administration when Roosevelt had his Commerce Secretary gather in Washington a lot of the leaders of the big companies to really help advise on a lot of the policies. And I thought that was pretty cool. So, and then in 2011, the White House Business Council began partnering with an organization that's a nonprofit called Business Forward. And they host a number of these conversations both at the White House and then around the country. And they bring in senior officials from the administration, and they talk with local business leaders to see really what the needs and opportunities are in communities to help really create more jobs and accelerate economic recovery. And so there were a lot of organizations there, and there were nonprofits, there were small businesses, business advocates. It was really great.
And I understand that throughout December, Business Forward, the group that convened the meeting you attended, is hosting four roundtables at the White House with business leaders from across the country. And what is the purpose of these roundtables?
Well, now I think it might be three, considering the fact that one today was canceled.
Uh-oh.
I know, but maybe they'll do another one. But the primary purpose of these roundtables is to inform the administration on ways to increase job creation, to support the economy, ways to partner with the local, with the private sector, because, you know, the government purchases so many things from the private sector. And basically, as Brian Deese, who is the deputy director of the Office of Management and Budget, one of the people that spoke to us, said, it's really ways to increase the pace of economic recovery and increase job creation. So we get back again to job creation. And I thought what was really interesting is that Brian said yesterday that a lot of the input is going to be taken directly to the president for consideration in the State of the Union address. So that's pretty neat, huh?
Well, absolutely. Yeah. And we know that the president, unfortunately, would not have been there yesterday because he's in South Africa for the memorial for Nelson Mandela.
That's right. There was a whirlwind as people were leaving for that and coming into our thing. And it was pretty amazing. So, yeah, we were actually in the executive office building, which is right next door to the White House, which is where the White House has all their offices. So,
and so what did Rebecca Harris bring to the table?
So in a lot of ways, really what I was looking at was the role of women and the input of women in business in general. And as we know, from 1997 through 2013, when the number of businesses in the United States really has increased by a huge percentage, 41%, the number of women-owned businesses has increased almost 60%, which is 1.5 times the national average. But the problem is that women-owned businesses only employ 6% of the country's workforce. They contribute under 4% of business revenues, which is about what they contributed in 1997. So I really talked about how can the government help women access capital in the same ways that men do, how women can really hire more people to help them jumpstart their businesses, take more risk. On the corporate side, and a big report actually came out today, we're not seeing enough enough women on corporate boards, and reports have shown that having more women on corporate boards actually increases the bottom line. So I really brought a lot of those issues to the table for consideration when the government is looking at policy initiatives and inclusion.
Having more women on corporate boards increases the bottom line.
It does. It absolutely does. This was a study that was done by Catalyst Organization, which is a nonprofit. So get those women on those boards.
We're talking with our business contributor, Rebecca Harris, just back from the White House in Washington and a business roundtable there. For those who are interested, Rebecca, is there more information available or links to the event?
Yes, there definitely are. We put a bunch of links up on your website, Paul, so people can go to whitehouse.gov, businessfor.org, and then we put a bunch on the WESA website as well. So that's great. Some of the other topics that we covered were things like immigration. We really talked a lot about immigration, and Felicia Escobar, who's the Senior Policy Director for Immigration on the Domestic Policy Council, spoke about really the economic benefits of providing a path to earn citizenship for the 11 million undocumented immigrants currently living in our country. And her reports really were compiled and show that providing earned citizenships for those workers can, over 10 years, boost the GDP by $1.4 trillion, increase total income for all Americans by close to $800 billion, and generate close to $200 billion in additional state and federal tax revenue, and create 2 million more jobs. So that was a very compelling discussion on the need to really look at immigration reform and what's involved with that. So I thought that was pretty cool. And we also talked about the need to really develop a skilled workforce, the consequences of long-term unemployment, and demand-driven training. So we're making sure that we're educating in the STEM fields and really for what the workforce needs now.
And the whole issue of immigration reform, I mean, that's going to be a big one in 2014.
It's
been for the last couple of years, certainly, but it sounds like something may finally get done.
They're looking at the next 14 months as really being critical in kind of trying to pass some of these immigration reform bills and really looking at things very closely and trying to figure out how we can really strategically position this as a very important economic factor in our growth.
And finally, any fun behind-the-scenes moments? Tell us about what was going on there and who you ran into and all that good.
Right. So I also have to just put in one quick plug for, we talked a lot about manufacturing and why manufacturing is going to be so critical moving forward and how we've created so many more manufacturing jobs.
Well, we were just talking about Hazelwood, see a slew of them come in.
Right. And so, again, that is something that's very important to the administration, and they're looking at that. And we're not seeing enough women in manufacturing, so I brought that to the table. But some of the behind the scenes is very interesting. You have to go through three security checks to get into the executive office building. You go through the first one, you give them your ID, you go through the second one, and you have to go through an area where you walk past a huge German Shepherd. I know, I was like, really? It was probably a dog that is taller than I am, but it was a little intimidating. But then you go through a third checkpoint, and then you go through these beautiful long hallways, and what you see in most of these hallways are like the NSA and all these private offices, and outside each office is a huge box which contains everybody's BlackBerry. So nobody can bring cell phones into these offices. So there were boxes of BlackBerries, and I just thought that was pretty interesting.
I thought you were going to say that there were boxes there for suggestions.
No.
And then we mentioned, unfortunately, the president wasn't there. But who were some of the dignitaries you ran into?
Right. Well, so some of the top administration people that really were on our panel were people who were part of the administration. We did not see Valerie Jarrett. She was somebody who was there last time I was there. But we saw people from the different budget people. We saw the Senior Policy Director for Immigration. We saw Greg Nelson, Chief of Staff for the National Economic Council. So some of those people are pretty amazing.
And so are you. Rebecca Harris.
Thank you so much.
Director of the Center for Women's Entrepreneurship at Chatham University. Joining us just back from the White House. Go home and get some rest.
Yeah, right. We have a lot to do in this snow, so have a great day.
You too. Tomorrow on Essential Pittsburgh, we'll hear what Governor Corbett has to say about his health care plan. Thanks for listening to the program on 90.5 WESA. You can catch the entire show online at WESA.fm or as a podcast in iTunes. Until tomorrow, I'm Paul Guggenheimer. So long for now.